Just recap really quickly what I want to communicate, what I want us to all to see. And when I read these things and I prepare, do this stuff, I get just as excited, hopefully, that people who hear it, because God is so awesome, so great a salvation, and that His... See, our way of approaching people who are in trouble, who are struggling, who are in bondage, whose lives are devastated, is, let me fix you. It may take us years to fix you, but we'll fix you. I understand. This is Inner Healing Weekend. We do counseling. My wife's a counselor. We did stuff. The Lord's way of dealing with it was, oh, okay. This piece of clay seems to be in trouble, so let's just... And then we'll create a new one. With the stuff that's required to not be like that anymore. Let's just go through a spiritual womb. You'll be born again. You'll be a totally new creation. All the stuff that you've done, and actually, as you're learning to walk this out, even in the future, that's already actually been forgiven. It's already been covered. So you just have to appropriate that. But that's all gone. And I've given you now supernatural equipment so that you can be what you couldn't be before. So you don't have to be like that anymore. And not only do you get to live a supernatural life, you'll get to give supernatural life away to others. You'll see people get changed and set free in a moment, healed. And we were just telling stories about when we were in Brazil in September. Just all these amazing stories that we keep hearing about people who got healed. And because that's just the life that Jesus lives, right? The death that he died to sin once, but the life he lives to God. The life he lives is supernatural, inside out. Let me just help you with that. I mean, wouldn't you like, instead of just reading stories about other people who are doing amazing things and signs and wonders, wouldn't you like to be one of those ones that does that stuff? God's no respecter of person. It's just the life that Jesus lives. We just got to add that to the, oh my gosh, that's part of the equipment? This is a supernatural ministry? Yep. So what do? Go act like it is so, even if you've never seen it so, because you know it is so. Go act like it's so. Even if you've never seen a person, go pray. Go pray like Jesus wants to heal everybody. I've never seen anybody get healed. Well, go pray until they do. And then keep praying until more than that one gets. Just keep doing it. Act like it's so when it isn't so. In order for it to be so, because you know it is so. It's just, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I anymore. It's not the independent, struggling, do the best I can I anymore. But Christ lives in me. We're one. You see, His adequacy is my potential. Well, yeah, I just don't think I love her anymore, Bishop. La-di-da. I mean, has something happened biblically for this relationship to end? No. I just think God wants me happy. Really? Let me just say this to you. Doing your own thing is not going to result in your being happy. Why not, instead of us constantly begging God, wanting to change our circumstances and situations, why don't we let God change us? So that nothing about the circumstance, situation, relationship's ever the same again. I mean, if you think of whatever, what do you think Jesus looks like? I mean, does he have brown hair and blue eyes? If that's what you think, long hair, looks like a member of AC/DC, whatever he is you think. And if he's in a relationship, well, does he do that to you? He's like going, look, I want a divorce from this guy, this girl. They're just a lot of trouble and really hard, and I just can't love them anymore. Really? Has he ever said that to you? I just can't love you. I've tried, can't do it anymore. Really? So if he can just get rid of you, all of his problems are solved. He can be happy. You see, he's our plumb line. Not the American nightmare. You're only going to find happiness in Him. Doing life supernaturally is the coolest thing in the world. You see, Everything he ever demands of you, he's already placed in you. And therefore, nothing he requires of you seems unreasonable to him. I'll quote a verse to you. We're not going to teach on it yet. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And I'll translate it to you the way it's written, should be translated in your scriptures, Bible. For the God of limitless ability has already abounded all grace to you, that you always having right now all sufficiency for everything may abound every good work. Wow. Does marriage, relationships, or greed or lust, or fear, do any of those come into the category of everything? So I don't want to hear it. I just can't love them anymore. Really. That's the issue isn't about whether you, acting like the old man, can love them anymore. That's what lost people say. Christ is your life. You have his all-sufficiency right now. So by faith, go love him. And supernaturally, God will change everything about how you feel. He'll release his ability. You with me? That's the difference between being lost and being saved. Because lost isn't about lost, I'm going to hell. It's just lost in life. I don't know how to make life work at all. That's why he saves me in his life. You've been placed into a totally different dynamic, into a totally different sphere of reality. You're in Christ. He's the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come now. You're past. You're in Christ. You with me? You're in Christ. Therefore, your past is no longer your past. It's not the devil's past. He's purchased it and redeemed it all. It's his past. So quit looking at it. You don't have the right to act like, to look at your past, go, I'm so guilty, I'm so condemned. It's not your past. It's his. You're in Christ. Your future is not your future. It's his future. It's not going to be the devil's future. It's his future. And you're right now. It's not your now. It's not the devil's now. It's his now. And you live like it's his now. It's his story. So if it's his story, he has a right to tell the story any way he wants to, right? So if you're in Christ and you're driving down the road and you're going to be late because your car broke down and you're in traffic, it's his story. Does he have a right to tell his story any way he wants to? I mean, the thing about the Lord is he's a great choreographer, he's a great director and producer, but he kind of seems to write the scenes as we go along. And sometimes it doesn't always look like what you anticipated. And when you get mad about that, what you're saying is, I want my story, not your story. And the Lord's like going, really? Really? Isn't that what I redeemed you from, is your story? Didn't we give that a shot once before? Worked out really well, didn't it? God's not your co-pilot. He doesn't trust you behind the wheel for a minute. But if that's what you want, he'll let you do it. Take over. Fly the thing. You'll be back. Having slaughtered people all over the highway. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was part of last night. Let's just settle this thing. If it's his story, he gets to write the script, not you. And if he's writing the script, can't we trust him with that? Don't you want his story? Just give it a shot. Take it out for a spin. Let him drive. But every piece of the script he writes, you already have his all-sufficiency in that everything. So you get caught in traffic. You're supposed to be. This has happened to me before a number of times. You're going to get caught and you're going to be late to speak at a place and it's people you've never met before and you really thought you planned it early but it's a weird accident and so you're just stuck there going, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, please get me out of this. Oh God, please. You know what they're going to think? They're going to reject me. They're going to think I'm terrible. They're going to say bad things about me. They'll never ask me to come again. Yada, 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 yada. That's living like the old man. Every lost person lives the same way. Sunday we might do the whole thing, you know. All we got here is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh my God. Send them away. That's why we live the Christian life. I can't handle this anymore. Have you ever said that? I can't handle this job, this relationship, this situation anymore. This morning. That's funny. But do you understand what you're saying? It's irrelevant whether you on your own can handle it. That's who you once were. You're not on your own anymore. People get angry all the time who have anger issues. One is they're rebellious. I don't care if they think that they're being righteous. It's rebellion and it's unbelief. It's his story. First Thessalonians 5:24. This is not what I was going to do, but faithful is he who calls you, who'll also do it. So I'm sitting in this crowded place where this accident, and I'm going to be late, and I go, Lord, here's the way new creation lives. Well, I'm in Christ. This other thing is secondary. I'm really in Christ. You know, if I were to call Libby and say, she said, where are you at? I said, well, I'm in Christ. Oh, there's also this accident, so it looks like I'm going to be late, but it's his story, and I'm just trusting him. He's going to take care of all their attitudes. Then what if I get there and they have attitude? I can trust him with that too, right? Maybe he's going to use their failure to bring them to the place where they're going to be yielded and surrendered. It's his story. That's one thing about being purposely irresponsible with me. And it happens, and God can use that to what? Change me. He's not going to condemn me. That's not possible. But he doesn't want me to be responsible. And you know what? He lives inside of me, and there's grace to not be responsible anymore. But he says we're practicing righteousness. You know? So you never get it perfect all the time. Always bothers me when doctors talk about practicing medicine. I've been in a lifetime search for one who's no longer practicing and actually has it down pat. But the more I go to them, the more I realize how much they need to practice. So what does it say? Here's the thing. So here's your identity. Here's the thing. On Jesus. This is like one of the coolest verses in the whole world. This is Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, I read a little bit of this earlier, so I'm going to read to you again. Well, the first part of Colossians chapter 3 says this, since then, you've been raised up with Christ, as a new creation. Since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. It's renewing your mind. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you have died, and the life, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ is your life, appears, not the second coming, but daily appears as you give him permission to live his life, you shall also will appear with him in glory, manifest presence of God. So he goes on and says these other things. But verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self. Now listen to what it says about the new creation that you are. This is so important. So hear this. A lot of what we did earlier. And you have put on, past tense, the new self, who is being renewed. You're learning how to be the new self, who is being renewed to a true experiential knowledge, a true experience according to the image of the one who created him. It's a renewal where you're becoming more and more experientially like Christ. Amen? Romans 8, again, I think I read some of this last night. We know that God calls all things to work together for good, those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Every one of you have the same destiny. I don't know what your vocation is, what your situation is, but you all have the same predestiny, that you become Christ-like. Not by trying to look like Jesus. You don't have to try. You know, the water doesn't need to stand off and try to look like this. You're one. You share his life. You're saved in his life. So we're all called to be Christ-like. So this new creation is a renewal. You're learning how to live a new way. Repenting of any time you act like the old man, right? I know that sometimes people get frustrated with me because they'll come to me and they'll tell me about all the things they're worried about. And I'll go, and the first thing I talk to them is about, well, you know, you see, I mean, Christ is in control. He's his story, and he's big enough, he's going to work it all out. And they get frustrated because I'm not being sympathetic. See, I can't afford to do that with me. I was mentally ill. I said the other day, you know, in the King James, most of the times when the word behavior is translated conversation. I mean, I just can't travel down memory lane. Let me just talk like the old man for a while. Let me just act like the old man. Let me just tolerate that for a while. I can't afford to do that for 1 minute, because what I've discovered is if you open up a bag of potato chips, oh man, you can't eat just one. You're going to eat the whole bag. Right? And so 10 minutes of anxiety conversation is going to result in about 4 days of anxiety in my emotion. So I have to take every thought captive, because that's not who I am anymore. If Christ isn't wigging out and he's my life, I shouldn't be wigging out either. But it doesn't seem practical. How did practical work out? See, that's how the old man always thinks in a linear way. That's what's carnal-minded. What would normal, natural people do with 5 loaves and 2 fish and 15,000 people? Here's the Christian motto: when in trouble or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Right? The worried cow would have lived to now if she'd only saved her breath, but she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death. Loving God people, worshiping God people, charismatic, freaking out, yay, yay, Jesus, go to conference people. But that's the kind of way we live our daily lives. So he says this neat thing. It's a renewal, being renewed to an experiential knowledge that'll make me look more and more like the image of the one who created me. It's a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave or free man. Wow, that covers a lot of territory. It's a renewal that doesn't matter where you've come from. Scythians and barbarians were the worst people in the world. The Scythians were the barbarians on steroids. So no matter where you've been, who you are, what you've done, there's a renewal in which, he says, but Christ is all, and he's in all. Wow. See, I believe every new Christian should memorize this verse and should be taught that. That should be part of every new member's class. Wherever you've been, who, no matter what you are, no matter what you've done, you all are on the same level playing field. You all have the same potential to live life and life more abundantly, because Christ is in all, and he is all. He's all. That kind of covers a lot. He's all. What? Always having all sufficiency in everything. He's all. That issue in your life that you've struggled with for years, that's not all. He's all. That particular thing, anger, control, fear, that's not all. He's all. Whatever you're about to face, that situation, that's not all. He's all. Oh, there's a real financial crunch, and so all I want to do is talk about it, and we'll think about it, and we'll frustrate about it, and I don't want anybody telling me to believe God, because you don't understand there's a situation here. Really? It's not about being irresponsible. If I sit in traffic and I have a flat tire, I'm going to get out and change the tire. But I'm going to do it in faith, not in anxiety. I quit being so nervous because I'm going to be so late. Really? Isn't that what lost people do? Shouldn't there be a difference? Isn't that our great testimony? Not that people are following us around and watching how many people get healed, but when a Christian goes to a restaurant and gets frustrated and angry and sensitive and impatient with a waitress or waiter who's not cooking the food, that's where we're witnesses. That's where we should look different and be different. We get aggravated with each other. I don't want to hear about how many people you've prayed for got healed. I'm watching how many people you're wounding with your tongue. Well, it's just my personality type. No, that's your version. That's the flavor of your flesh. Some have vanilla flesh, some have chocolate flesh, some have tutti frutti flesh. It's just the flavor of your flesh. But he's the same Christ. Christ is all, and he's in all. See, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is you all have the same supernatural equipment. He's in all of you. So the same possibilities, the same limitlessness of Christ, but none of us have any more excuses. He's all. He's in all. I've told this story to the ones who are on the team probably are sick of hearing. Well, they're probably sick of all these stories because they've been to hear me this stuff, but we were driving from the ranch in Brazil to the church, and they had just told us that we were going to be praying for several blind people. And we'd already seen some cool healings and stuff, but I got in the van. I'm in the front seat, so nobody can see my face, which I'm really glad. I'm like going, blind people? And I'm just really struggling with it. It made me anxious, made me feel vulnerable, insecure, inadequate. And the Lord just spoke that word. He said, blindness isn't all, I'm all. This isn't your responsibility. You're my body. I just need you to show up and be my hands and feet and eyes and voice. We're one, Chuck. Just, I'm all, not blindness. And it just set me free. You with me? And we actually did see one person who was blind who had AIDS. Who got healed. Came off the streets, just walked in the service off the streets. You're kidding me. Why would God heal an AIDS person? Because he so loved the world. Christ is all and he's in all. It says in Ephesians, that's an amazing verse to me, Ephesians chapter 4, that place in Colossians 3. And I love that because every believer who comes, every person who's born again, I don't care what they're, drugs, addicts, prostitution, whatever, you can say, here's the deal. This is just true about you than it is the person who was raised in a Christian family all their life. Never did those things. Christ is all. So you got everything you need to live a supernatural and victorious life because the Christ who's all is in all. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, describing the church collectively, therefore also individually, for the church, which is the fullness of him who fills all and who's in all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says, he who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. John chapter 1, verse 16. You know, one of the things is, as I've gotten older too, this is just as much fun for me, you know, if we're talking to 1,000 people or if we're doing this, if I'm sitting around my brothers, my fellow brothers, clergy and stuff, we just talk about this stuff. Because what we're talking about is just the wonders of what it means to be a new creation. It's just amazing to me. It blows me away. And I love to re-talk about it. I thank God this is what I do for a living because it just renews my mind over and over again. Oh my gosh. Because I'm fighting the good fight of faith like the rest of us. We're on the same journey. Have I blown it, ever blown it, since I've discovered all this? Not in the last 3 or 4 minutes. But I'm not lost. I'm not out there going, oh my God, what happened? How do I do this better? Oh God, please help me. I know what happened. For in this thing, Deuteronomy 1:32 says, you have not believed the Lord your God. Because you see, what I want you to understand is you already have it all because Christ is in you and you're in him. You have it all. You're in union with Him. If you've got Christ, who is all, you've got it all. Christianity is not a thing or principle. There are principles and all that stuff. It's not memorization. It's a person. This is an H-I-M book, hymn book. Christianity is not a how-to. It's a who-to. Christ is all. He's in all. It says in verse 16 of John 1, "For of His fullness," not from His fullness. We didn't get part of His fullness, therefore He lost some of it. But of His fullness. "Of His fullness we have all received," past tense, "and grace upon grace." Because you've received His fullness, because when you've been born again, you got filled everything that Jesus is. You got all the grace. I'm going to read this to you because we'll do it again. But let me just read this because I have to read it because I can't ever memorize it. Several clergy, we all kind of worked out this definition of grace. See, because we think grace is just that thing God does instead of destroying us. He exercises patience towards us. Grace is a lot more than that. That verse in 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "For the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace." So I want you to hear what grace is. Alrighty? Grace, so I have to read it from, because I kept adding words to it as we were spending time together. Grace is God's limitless affection, acceptance, and ability, and activity. Grace is God's limitless affection, that's His love, His acceptance, His ability, and activity as a free gift in Christ for us, towards us, to us, in us, and through us. I want you to hear this again. Grace is what is who He is and what He does and how He does it. It's not just when He forgives us. It's so much more than that. God's power is grace. God's peace is grace. God's joy is grace. Everything. Grace is God's limitless affection. His love for you is just grace, right? And it's limitless. Acceptance. He just accepts you unconditionally. It's limitless. His activity in your life, on your behalf, His ability towards you, in you. So here again, God's limitless affection, acceptance, ability, and activity is a free gift in the person of Christ. For you, to you, toward you, in you, and through you. That's grace. That's why I can say, "And of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." Because the other way you could translate that verse from 2 Corinthians 9:8, "The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work." The God of limitless ability has abounded all that Christ is to you. That you always having the all sufficiency of Christ in you, for you, to you, with you, in everything you'll ever face, that you may always abound in everything you put your hand to. Life and life more abounding, more abundant. It's Christ. Christ is all. So we talk about grace, we're just talking about Christ. All the aspects of Christ that are free, that He does freely in us, to us, through us, for us, towards us, that's free and limitless. Amen? Colossians 2:10, another amazing verse. We'll start verse 9. "For in Him," Jesus, "all the fullness of deity dwells," or is embodied. You would agree with that, right? That in Christ, all the fullness of deity is embodied. "And in Him, you have been," past tense, "made full." "And He is head over all rule and authority." Your fullness. You have been made, and the word New American Standard is complete, but it's the same word, fullness. You've been made full. You with me? This is the wonders of the new creation. You were born again with all the equipment, and it's a supernatural equipment. You're no longer under condemnation. Whew. Right? You don't have that over your head all the time, because it makes you want to give up. When you fail again for the thousandth time, you almost want to give up. But God's a God of hope. And so you fail and you go, boy, I know what happened. For in this thing, I didn't trust him. I didn't believe him. I didn't reckon on him. I didn't count on him. I didn't lay hold of who he is. I tried to handle this on my own. Or I tried to do it on my own. It's my way. It's my story. My ability. My story lived by my ability, or his story lived by his ability. Those are the options. Born again means now it's his story, and he has an exciting story. I would have never known 10 years ago or 30 years ago, or when I first surrendered my life fully to Christ. I've been doing drugs. I was an old hippie, and I have depression, anxiety. Nobody could have ever convinced me. I mean, I didn't think I'd live to be 33. Somebody had told me when I'm 63 years old, I'm going to be praying for people, a person who has AIDS and they get healed, who's blind. Or praying for two people in Sudan who walked for days, who both had AIDS, and they got totally healed. These 9 years later, they're still healed. If you'd ever told me that, I thought, you're just nuts. When I first gave my life to Christ, I went to go to Bible college because I met people who seemed their life seemed to be together, and they went to Bible college. I thought, well, that's what I'll do. I'll go to Bible college because I don't want to be mentally ill anymore. First 2 years as a walking with the Lord, I was struggling with my mental illness. And so I told the Lord, this is how I got called to be in the pastor. I'm in his story. I love all these great stories. You know, I was just walking down the road and lightning struck me and God spoke an audible voice, said, I'm calling you into the ministry. Here's what happened to me. I went to Bible college. It was pretty small, maybe 400 or 500 people. And the way you signed up for what major, your first year or two, after your second year, you can't change majors. There's this really large room, and they have these desks. And so the missions department, the pastoral theology department, English, all those the department heads were there, and you signed up. Well, you see, when I first started walking with the Lord, and I guess within a year I started going to Bible college, I had to cut my hair and had to do all those kind of things because you couldn't do that. You couldn't wear jeans. You couldn't have long hair. But I didn't care. I would have wore cellophane if they had told me to. Aluminum foil. I was desperate for God. You know? And so I go and I sign up and I told the Lord this. I said, I'll do anything, but I will not stand in front of people and talk ever. I said, I'd like to write poems or maybe be a missionary. That sounds romantic. So I signed up for the missions department. And so I did missions department for a year. And so the next year, we had to go register again, and that was the last chance you could sign your major. Well, a friend of mine invited me to go to this awesome buffet in Birmingham, and I had to be there at a certain time. So I go in the room, and the missions line was like really long, and there was only one short line. It was the pastoral theology line, and there was one person line. I thought, that's what I'm going to do, because I got to get to this buffet. I don't want to miss the buffet. Pretty obvious that I didn't. Or ever have. That's how I got called to be a pastor. I like my story better than walking down the road and getting struck by lightning, actually. It's his story. He could have made the missions line short and the other one long, right? Right? I'm in Christ. Did he confirm it as time went on? Yeah. But that's how I got signed up. Because I didn't want to miss the buffet. See, Christian life is supernaturally every minute, all the normal stuff that we do that makes up life. You're in Christ. In the middle of the night, changing a diaper, you're in Christ. It's his story. Stuck in traffic, it's his story. Being around somebody who's really aggravating, his story. Because what is he wanting to do? Do a deeper work. Dig trenches. Time to dig trenches. I'm getting irritated. That's the old man. Dig trenches. Repent. Let him fill that place. Right? Huh? Much easier said than done. No, that's not true. I understand what you're saying. But it's not true, really. It's supernatural. It is much, to try to do it is really hard. As a matter of fact, the harder you try, the more irritated you get, actually. What I find is that in those situations when I'm blown, it gets worse and worse. I'm forgetting to remember who I am. And at some point in the process, I have to be not too proud to be reminded. Sometimes God will even use a person. So you're really acting like a jerk, Chuck. And my response is, I'd like to put your lights out too. No. You know what? You're right. I'm in Christ. This isn't how Christ is. This isn't who Christ is. This isn't who I am. That's not who I am. That's why we're transformed by the renewing of our what? Mind. As a man thinks, what does it say in Scripture, Proverbs? So is he or she. Now, back to that whole place in Ephesians. For the church is the fullness of him who, here's the language again, in this very moment, who is filling all and is in all. See, here's the paradox. I'm full, I'm complete, Christ is all, he's in all. But he's refreshing that every minute. In my spirit, I'm constantly, it's like a lit wells of living water springing up, just filling me. I'm constantly full. Now, I either by faith can draw that out of my spirit into my soul, my experience, into my life and ministry, or not. You see? It's like a swinging door. There's like two parts to it. One's called surrender. The other's called faith. You know, those are the two things that walk me out into the far land, to the larger room. He's filling all, and he's in all. Again, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, what I used to be. Nevertheless, I live. That's a new me. But not I, not the old me. The one who's living now, but Christ who lives in me. And the and that word there is, again, Christ who's not stagnant in me, cheering me on, sitting in a corner. The language is, but Christ who's living in me. He's alive in me, living in me right now, offering all that he is. And the life which I now live, the life which I now live, the life that you live, Mama, it's the life that you live and you live, the situations that make up your life. Really, I understand, he understands. You go to him and the Lord, this is so hard. And the Lord said, I know it's hard for you, but it's not hard for me. The answer is the same. I'm all, and I'm in all. I'm living in you, in the life that you live, Chuck. I'm living you in the life that you live. I know everything about your life. I see you with great compassion. But I've already provided you with the solution, the life that you live. I was thinking of some of you who've lost husbands or wives and you've had to walk that out. The life that you live. Where the world tells you that you should just stay depressed and lonely and be fearful and just want to die. And it never gets any better. Christmas is never good again. God knows that you have... We don't get over things. We're not created for that kind of loss. But we do learn to go beyond. The Lord didn't say, I came that you might have life except for those of you who've lost somebody and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly unless you've been rejected by somebody. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly unless somebody's abandoned you. He didn't say that. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't say, you can't have life and have it more abundantly because loneliness is too hard. Because this is too bad. Because this, you lost all your money in the stock market. Because things didn't turn out my job the way I thought. My future is not looking like I thought it was going to look like. He said, that's not what gives you life and life more abundantly. Stock market, relationships, circumstances, situations. In the life that you live, I came. Because I came. You can have life and have it more abundantly. Because I've come, you have life and have it more abundantly. It's his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So, Bishop, why are you so unbending about this? Because I was mentally ill. There's nothing more hellish than to live with mental illness. Nothing worse than to wake up every day full of anxiety, fear, and depression. Nothing. It's hell. It's horrible hell. When I gave my life, surrendered my life to Christ, I didn't care whether I went to hell or heaven. I was already in hell. And I thought that was just the way it was. I was at least forgiven and going to go to heaven one day. I didn't know for 2 years that he actually stepped out of heaven into me so that I could experience heaven on the way to heaven. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus is the way, then the way can be as heavenly as the goal. And so many of us live our Christian lives in performance, and we're never happy until we reach this goal and that goal. I had a Christian leader say years ago, I'm always depressed unless I'm accomplishing some project. Really? Really? That's horrible. He's the way. The journey is life and life more abundantly. And you can know life and life more abundantly because he came. Not because they left or they stayed. We put up with stuff a lot of times because if they don't stay, if it doesn't stay the same, I don't know what I'm going to do. He came that you might have life more abundantly. Not they came or he came or she came or it came or your job came or the financial market doing well came or you got enough money came. The only thing that matters is that he came and he's one with you. See, these things I worked out in my heart, I'm still working out in my life because I had no choice. There was only one option to me discovering these things. That was suicide because I was not prepared to live like that the rest of my life. Just go to heaven, kill yourself. And if there isn't a way to walk in freedom here, in fullness here, the supernatural life of Christ here, the best thing we should do is the moment a person gets born again, shoot them in the head, send them to heaven, then I have to go through the hell on earth, right? Now, I would like to do that with a lot of clergy. I'll ordain you that I'm going to shoot you in the head because you're going to save me a lot of pain and anguish. You know the way to destroy a good layperson, don't you? Ordain them. That's right. I've ruined more good lay people. Now, am I telling you that I do this right every time? No. I'm telling you there are days when I don't, as if I've lost my mind. I've been teaching this for 30-something years. I mean, I'll go for 2 or 3 days, and like at some point I'm getting along with the Lord. And that's why prayer is so important, because it keeps you up to date. But I'll get along with the Lord, and he'll go, "What in the world are you doing?" It's kind of like the prodigal son. It says, and when he came to his senses, well, what am I doing? I've lost my flipping mind. And I go back to the very, is there anything new deeper? And I just go back to the same thing, or he tells me the same thing in a different way. Lord, it's your story. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you that you do. And may these horrible emotions I'm going to live with for the next few days be a deeper reminder to me that taking a vacation in the wilderness is not really the smart thing to do. It's much better to live in Canaan. Amen? Okay. Let's just stop. Alrighty. I really sensed that today, because I really didn't like, I knew the direction last night, I knew the kind of direction today, but I really felt a real anointing and a call for us to do what God said he does with us. Let's just reason together. So I might even give you a chance this afternoon just to ask some questions too. We'll talk some more about this, but say, ask me a practical question. Well, Bishop, how does it work here? What do you mean? Like, did I just sit around and ask Jesus to do it through me? No, you're his body, so you're traveling. You know, he's going to do it, but he's going to have to do it through your hands, your eyes, your voice. Right? I just want us to reason together. I want us to get this down inside of us. It's the game changer. It's the way, it was God, the great surgeon, the wonderful physician. This is how he changed your life. This is what he did. All righty.